That's what I mean. I mean, what do you mean? I said, listen, lady, whatever you're doing, stop. She said, how? I said, quit. She said, how? I said, don't do it. She said, do you have a book? So she says, you want me to tell her 10 things to do to not do it? And this young girl came to me, I felt for her though, a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about the religious stuff. She said, how do I not think this? I said, you can't not think something. You have to replace it. You can't think nothing, can you? You can't not think something. You have to replace what you believe. So if you believe some wrong things, guess what? You're going to receive some wrong things. So I'm just trying to adjust some of your believing this morning. Some of your thinking. Say, I'm not working for Jesus. I'm yielding to the anointing. So he can work through me. It's much more fun. And much easier. Yeah, but you see, the devil doesn't want you in the anointing, so he'll keep you busy. Religious spirits. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, unfortunately, is also the knowledge of good. If it was just evil, it would be easy. But the knowledge of good can bring just as much death. Because you can feed from the tree of knowledge and not feed from the tree of life. So where did you get your information this morning? From the tree of knowledge? When it came to that offering, did you go by your checkbook? Your bank account? Where'd you get your information about that? Did you get your information from your bank account? Or did you get your information from the tree of life? Because when Jesus gives you something, see, he imparts the faith in the word for you to do what he said. Even though in the natural it might not look like anything. If I say to you, come with me to Wales in October, I guarantee you, most of you, or consult your checkbook. So right away, you're getting your information from the wrong source. So you consult the tree of life. He might say, no, not for you this time. But he might say, go with Kathy. But then he imparts the faith for you to receive what you need. And your angels, you see, your angel is there. Everyone in here, you have an angel who's assigned to you. You're his assignment. Whoa. You're his assignment, honey. He doesn't leave you. You're his assignment. And his purpose is to help you accomplish the purposes of God in your life. What he's there for. And he can be very funny too. Angels can be very funny. And, oh, by the way, angels hate religious spirits. You know why? Because religious spirits distort the nature of God. Religious spirits distort people's view of God. He's a good God. He's a good God. Amen. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen, amen to the glory of God. He's not a yes and no God. God wants to heal you, but, you know, might not want to because he's trying to teach you something. You ever heard that? That's very sick, actually. But it's out there. I hear people say it all the time. You know, in fact, I was in this church a while ago. This lady came to me and said, could you pray for me? I have cancer. I said, well, I can actually have anointing for that. I know what spirit that is. I said, would it be better if you had your pastor and the elders pray for you on Sunday anointing with our, because they're there with you. Should I ask them last week and they told me God's trying to teach me something? Do you know what I said? Never go back to that church again. Ever. If you've been around anything like that, you need to get prayed for, sorry, but you do. You need to get that out of your head. Because Jesus died for that. He already died for that. So that we can receive. Whoa. Okay. Liberty. This sets you free from that condemnation and that sin consciousness. You enjoy the Lord. Because when he says, hey, quit that, you get set free. See, when you're struggling, you're usually struggling in the religious flesh. When I got delivered from cigarettes, you know, the more people ministered to me about smoking cigarettes, because I'd smoked cigarettes for 20 years before I got filled with the Spirit. So you can't just the next day say, well, I don't think I'd do that, because you have a spirit of addiction. It wants to control, you see. So the more people got on at me, the worse it got. Now I'm under condemnation too, because, you know, now I can't do it. And I felt worse and worse, you know what I mean? So in the end, I thought, somebody came to me and said, just come into that revival. They said, Kathy, just stop trying. You know, if God's not maybe not so interested in that. Sometimes he's more interested in something else. And so I just didn't bother. I quit, you know, just. But guess what? One day when I was at work in London, the Holy Spirit said to me, hey, Kathy, you know, the old man was crucified. I said, that's right. So God said to me, well, the new man doesn't need cigarettes. I said, oh, okay. And I never smoked another cigarette. Because when he speaks, there's deliverance. Yeah. Woo! So, he sets you free from sin consciousness. You got it? You get your joy back now, can't you? Because you're not trying and striving and working at it. Guess what else he set you free from? Self-consciousness. So you can be free to be you. Who he created you to be. There's other things that want to interfere with that, by the way. They want you to be something else than what he said. So guess what, folks? Sometimes you have to get delivered. Aren't you glad he's a deliverer? He's a savior, healer, baptizer in the Holy Ghost, but he's also the deliverer. Nothing's automatic. You have to get delivered. And I have a word for you too about that. Before every move, there's usually a wave of deliverance. Because then the stuff leaves, and that releases you to jump. Go to a higher. See if you can imagine this. The Lord showed it to me in a picture one time. You know those big flat corks they have on the big jars? I saw one of those corks. It was floating on the water. But attached to the cork were these weights. Okay? That's like religious mindset. So it was pulling the cork down. And one by one, I saw the weights be removed. So the cork went. And that's what happens when you get delivered from stuff. You know, I don't know, I think because, Pastor, because there's move of the Spirit coming, it's good to have a little deliverance team that people can go to for deliverance, because you know you have to get delivered from your generational stuff and your religious stuff and whatever else you picked up along the way. You have to get delivered. Because every time you do, those weights drop off. Woo! The funny thing is about the spirit realm, the lighter you are, the better off you'll be. All that heavy stuff you see, it's not spiritual. It's religious and it's soulish. Remember people used to go to those intercessors conferences, you remember that years ago? They came back like this. They'd say, you must come next time. I'd go. I don't think so. Because if you're an intercessor, which I know there's a lot of intercessors in here, but if you're an intercessor, guess what? You just yield to the anointing. And you know that anointing comes on you. You might weep over China. You might cry, you might speak in tongues, you might do some declaring. You might sing. You might fall on the floor. You might dance. But it lives. But it lives. But it lives. Because it's not you, it's him. You just yield to the anointing. But the anointing lives. And he doesn't use you all the time anyway. Sometimes he wants to use someone else. Sometimes he wants to use himself. Ever thought about that? Listen, women pray their heart out and then try and fix it. And by the way, the laughter, the Holy Ghost laughter, don't be in some church where they don't like the laughter. That is dumb. Sorry. Because the laughter actually is a warfare weapon. People don't understand. See, God's ways are not our ways. He does things so different to what we think. But the laughter is warfare. Because what happens is your spirit begins to pick up on a victory. God looks on his enemies and has them in. There's a point after he causes in the enemy's camp a lot of disturbance. And they stop connecting with each other, those demons. So when your spirit begins to pick up on that, the laughter comes. Because that's what's happening. You don't know why you're laughing. It's not particularly anything funny. How many of you have been in a really religious service? It's because the angels, they'll interfere in religious service. They will, because they hate religious spirits. They distort the nature of God. And sometimes just before you get delivered, you start laughing. You do. How many of you have been rolling around the floor, drunk in the spirit, and you got up, and you got a few things missing? Few sicknesses? Few religious spirits? Because that's God's anesthetic. He does stuff. It's true. I'm sure you've all done this. Look. You've been ministering, you've done this, I know. You've been ministering to someone, you know, or praying for them or something, and they're telling you all this terrible stuff. It's awful. And they're looking at you like, what's wrong with you? You know? And you say, oh, don't worry about it, honey. Something good is happening. And it's true. And it's true. So don't knock the laughter. If there's laughter, you know that victories are happening. Telling you something. When I was in Wales a couple of years ago, I did this conference. Wales has a lot of druid stuff, you know, stuff like that. Heavy. So anyway, Saturday morning I get up to speak. I think I read a scripture. People laugh for 3/4 of an hour. So I just sat down again. When it quit, you know, I got back up, I finished the seminar. At the end, I started praying for people. People were getting delivered from major stuff, major spirits. But you know what? It was effortless. It was totally effortless. I thought, whoa. Then I realized something, because the laughter in the beginning already got it. Woo, don't you love God? He makes it so easy if we just learn to yield. You know, stop working out, it's true. I think. By the way, in some of the churches now, you know, all the water's becoming drunk water, just to let you know. It's true. As soon as they bring it into the into the sanctuary for the church. It gets drunk, the water. It's true. Anyway, and it's raining. And when it's raining, I have no regrets. It isn't raining rain, you know, it's raining violets. So when you see clouds upon the hills, you soon will see crowds of daffodils. That's springtime. Woo! It's like electric shots. So, what I want to tell you is this, really. I've got to show you a move of the Spirit coming, but there's going to be some deliverance. But you've got to be open. Why would you want to carry around that stuff that you inherited from your grandma and all that kind of stuff, you know? Because those things come down the family. It's time to let them go. It's time to get delivered. You know, some old mindsets that have interwoven themselves into your thinking. You have to let God untangle it. Because he wants you to be free from all that, all the things. How many of you have been in like a church or a ministry where there was like maybe some kind of move of the Spirit and it got aborted? New control. How many of you sat under control? Put your hands up so I can see. Let's break that, shall we? Because you see, you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. He's your lifeline. And, you know, submission actually means that you're open. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you just do something because someone else tells you to. You have to get a witness in your spirit too. You see? And so, he's your lifeline. If having a submissive spirit means that you're open. It means if I said, you know, this morning, I don't ask 100 people what they think, though. I learned not to do that. But, you know, that is mass confusion. But I might put something out there, like if I, this morning, God told me to live in China. You know, and this spirit came to me afterwards and said, you know, are you sure about that? Because when you said that, I kind of felt, and I would say, thank you for sharing that. I'll check it out. It doesn't hurt to check anything out. And I do check it out. And God might say, you know what, she's right. I never told you to live in China. Go on a mission trip. I say, thank you for sharing that. That's great. You see, God might give me a confirmation to go. So I go back and say, thank you for sharing that. It made me check it out. That's good. But I did feel like I have a confirmation to go. So will you keep praying for me? That's what that means. You see, in the leadership's job, we've pastored lots of churches, by the way, is to provide good food. But the shepherd doesn't get to pick up a handful of grass and shove it down the sheep's throat, does he? So there you go, here's the field, boys. Help yourself. You see, and really, the job of leadership is to watch out for the things that come against the sheep. Not to control the sheep, because that's God's sheep. False responsibility. We go religious, but it makes you feel responsible for things that only God can do. I can't change anyone, nor can you. You can't make anyone do anything. If you try, it has a way of backfiring. That's not my job, but false responsibility makes people try and be the Holy Spirit. That's how a lot of revivals quenched out. When the leadership thought, they tried to make people respond to God how they thought. But that's not your job. It's not my job. It's not pastor's job. I'm sure he doesn't want it. Your responsibility is to offer what he gives you. That's it. It's over. Can't make anyone receive it. My responsibility this morning is to offer what I feel like the Holy Spirit's given me. I can't make you receive it. I can't make you do anything. I'm not interested in trying. That's between you and God. You see, say this after me. My responsibility, do what the Father tells me to do. Go where the Father tells me to go. Say what the Father tells me to say. That's it. That's it. See, that's all your responsibility, so. And you're open. You're open. to other people. So easy. Take a deep breath. Every weight to go. And I just come against the spirit of control. Where somebody said you've been under control. I break the spirit of witchcraft over you. Break the spirit of control. And I thank you. I just release sharp hearing. So I can hear from God. Yeah, I'm his kid. I can hear. So say this after me. Okay, say, thank you, Lord. I have so many visions. And I had to relate them all. Say, thank you, Lord. I prophesy all the time. I go in chariots all the time. I have heavenly visitations all the time. See, that's not a mind thing. That's the truth. You're just agreeing with your spirit man. You see, but you have to receive it and declare it. Is that right? You have to declare. I can prove that it's for everybody because I've been in a meeting like a while ago in Sydney. I was in a meeting of 400 people. None of them ever had a vision, visitation, or been in a chariot of every or anything. I had to meet every single person went in a chariot. So you can't tell me it's for that person because they're those kind of spirit people. People say that. Well, they're the kind of spirit people. No. Say, me too. I'm included. My inheritance too. You get what you believe. Get what you believe. So don't let the devil tell you, who do you think you are? I mean, this lady told me, she said, Kathy, I went back to my church and I told them, you know, I went in a chariot. She said, and the pastor's wife said, who do you think you are? You're not Benny Hinn. She said she was taken back, you know. She didn't know what to say. But she went away and thought about it. She went to the restroom and thought about it. She came back, she said, no, but I am a princess. There is a spirit, you see. It says, who do you think you are? Talking about chariots and... Oh, I'm royalty. If I can walk boldly to the throne of grace, that's my dad. Have access. Woo! Okay, I'm going to quit. Who would like a cow? A cow represents a continual means of provision. So God's been dropping cows on people, if they're open. You know, don't try and think of things with, but there's a little boy in Atlanta right now, he's 11 years old, he's been earning $3,000 a week. He came to my meeting, God gave him a cow. And the reason he wanted the cow is because he wanted to take his whole Sunday school class on a mission trip. So he just did, to Mexico. He took 15 kids, paid for everything himself. So, you see, you don't have to have an MBA to have a cow. You just have to do this. You have to hear from God. You know, let him show you some stuff. You have to be open. Because he might show you something you never thought of. Sometimes some people already have a cow. And they don't realize it. You know, I just discovered a pastor's wife last Friday in Atlanta. Right before last, pastor's wife. Just three cows. She never did anything with them. And as soon as I told her, see that thing you made? Sell, make some more and sell them. And immediately, everyone around said, I want one. A cow was just shut up in the garage. And the cows are real. Because when that little boy came into the meeting, he said to his mom, what are all those cow legs hanging in the ceiling? She said, I don't know. But he got a cow. All you have to do is keep your antenna up. You have to get rid of the poverty thing. Because it's not time for that. So I've got things to do, places to go. I have to prosper. You know why people hang on to their little poverty spirit? You know why they hang on to their poverty spirit? Because it's comfortable there. You can stay in your $10, $20 offering. But if you start to get get rid of the poverty spirit, you start investing in the kingdom. Comfortable, you see, people keep their poverty spirit like a little pet. Come on, Rover, going to church today. If someone's sitting in our seat, bite them. You have to shoot Rover. Sorry, because Rover's got fleas. Your mindset, you know. I used to say, you have to take Rover to the pound. And then somebody said, some nice Christian would go and get him out again. So you have to shoot Rover, sorry. So I'm going to pray for a cow for you. This was funny when I was in Tasmania. I went out with the pastor after for some supper, and her phone went. It was her daughter, but she had it on loudspeaker, so I heard what the daughter said. And the daughter said, "Mom, that Kathy Walters is just going, I mean, it's a bit much for people, you know, these cows. Now we got cows." So her mom said, "Well, you know," she realized I'd heard, so she said, "Well, you know, just receive whatever you can." She turned the phone off. Anyway, about 20 minutes later, the daughter called back. She said, "Mom, there's a cow in my yard." Now, this girl lived on a subdivision. And she had to get the police to come and take the cow away. Okay, now, I'm going to pray for a cow, but you have to get the cow. You have to catch the cow, right? So you have to do this. Hold your arms really loose. Look. Yeah. Your cows are going to get all tangled up. Look, at the back there, that's not a cow. That's a hamster. Going to milk a hamster now. When the children of Israel went to the promised land, it says it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But there weren't rivers of milk, were they? They didn't get a bucket and bring, there was a little work involved. So your cow could be, you know, it's a business. Do to generate. Could be a book, could be a CD, could be whatever. Could be something you make, it could be something you see and you got a good deal so you can get it and sell it. Okay, thank you, Lord. Now, I'm going to pray. You're going to get the cow. As soon as you feel a little weight like this, you've got to put your arms like this because you're going to catch something underneath. Right? As soon as you feel a little weight, just give it a hug. Say, "I love you, cow." You have to love your cow. It's not going to work for you otherwise. Ooh, thank you, Lord. You just speak wealth into this church. Yeah. Guess where it's coming from? You. Start putting your money where your mouth is. Sorry. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I release those cows from heaven. You're giving people all over the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. You don't want us to be owned from 9 to 5 in these days. You want us to be available for the harvest, available to go. And Jesus says, "I release cows this morning." In Jesus' name. Oh, I got one. Woo. I've got another cow. Woo. The kids can get a cow. You can get a cow too. Yeah. Put your arms out. You feel a little weight. Give it a hug.